Welcome back to the Saturday Splash here on 94.5 WGTK The Answer. We are here with Andrew Padula from Padula's Plants, and he is teaching us all about native plants, invasive plants. And now he's going to tell us how to select plants to plant your fall garden and what you should be planting and when.
Well, that's a lot of good points. You know, as far as planting your garden during the fall, there's a few things you can do. You can get your garden ready for the fall while at the same time planting for spring. By doing that, there's certain things that, you know, are common to do in gardens, which aren't necessarily the best things to do. A good example would be raking the leaves out during the fall. That's actually not a good time to do that because the leaves in nature act as insulation to the plants. So if you keep the leaves on during the fall through the winter and rake them out in the spring, the plants are going to be a lot warmer through that cold spell.
And it'll keep moisture in too, right?
It can do that, yes.
And they'll compost a little bit?
They'll also add amendments to the soil over time. You know, another thing during springtime and fall in particular, you want to be careful of is when you trim. Because certain plants, you know, like wild black raspberries, for a good example, produce on last year's canes. So if you do your trimming during the wrong time during the fall, which, you know, you shouldn't do, you're going to be missing out on a lot of berries come summertime from what you trimmed.
So what do we want to trim in the fall? What is a yes, please trim this in the fall?
Any kind of herbaceous perennial that's gone past its flowering time. Sometimes if you do that at the right time in the fall, you can actually get it to flower again before frost.
And give me some examples. What would an herbaceous perennial be for those of us who are new or beginner gardeners?
Any kind of mint is an herbaceous perennial, you know, peppermint. Lots of 90% of herbs are herbaceous perennials. Galardia, Indian blanket flower, you know, those types of things. Mm-hmm. Anything basically that will die down during the winter time and then come back up.
What about basil? I have a basil plant and it's doing really well, and I don't know how long it's supposed to last or what I need to do to take care of it, but I think a lot of people probably have basil.
Mine is giant.
Mine has started to flower too.
And that's cool. That's about the right time for it to do that. One thing about basil, it is actually a tropical perennial. It's just treated as an annual here, so it dies back in the winter. But like, say,
but it'll come back.
Not outdoors. Oh. Say, for example.
Oh, it lives in my kitchen.
Yeah, say, for example, I had a favorite variety of basil I was growing at the nursery, and I wanted to propagate it in the spring. If I only had one left, I would bring it in the house, keep it alive through the winter, and then come springtime, put it back out and propagate from it.
So what is it doing when it's flowering? I mean, do I need to do anything about that, or that's just what happens?
You know, when they flower outdoors, a lot of times they go by the amount of sun they're receiving. You know, the plant can tell when it's time to flower. Other things that induce the flowering are stress. So if your plant's under a lot of stress, it's going to flower earlier because the plant's saying, oh, I got to make seeds and hurry up and do it before I die.
Oh, that's interesting.
So that's something to keep in mind about the flowering. But a lot, you know, in basil in particular, a lot of the essential oils and a lot of the stronger oils are in the flowers. So when I'm a big tea drinker and I make tea out of holy basil, I always go for the flowers because that's where most of it's at.
Oh, that's cool. Here's a question, random question. Can you freeze basil flowers?
You could do that in water. Like if you were going to make ice cubes, I wouldn't just put them in the freezer because, you know, like most flowers, the cold kills them. But if you were to put them in ice cubes, they would keep their green and color to them.
How pretty would that be too? Basil flower ice cubes?
That'd be pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Put those in a drink.
You mentioned something else. You mentioned propagating. Tell me about that.
Well, as far as the natives go, you know, at the Greer Farmers Market, you know, one thing that I had talked about with Christy Ray, who's president of the market, and my wife Danielle's director of marketing there. But one of the things we had talked about bringing natives into the market was having classes on propagating them. Because one thing you have to consider when you're propagating natives are copying the natural outdoor conditions they're from. So a lot of times that involves cold stratification. And basically what that means is you want to copy the winter conditions that the native plant's from. So for instance, if I'm going to plant, I recently did a seed order for the nursery and I ordered some mayhaw seeds, which is a type of crab apple that's native. Well, I'm going to cold stratify them. I'm going to plant them around October and let them go all the way through the winter outdoors, not mess with them at all, and then keep an eye out for them around April or May.
Is that the same type of thing as you would do with like bulbs or tulips or something where they need to have, sometimes you might put them in your freezer in order to get them to work, to bloom in the spring?
Yeah, and that once again depends where they're from. Like I wouldn't necessarily do that with an amaryllis because that's more of a borderline hardy one. But ones, you know, like daffodils or area, you know, where they're from cooler conditions, that dormancy actually helps give them a resting period, which all plants need.
Hmm. Wow. I don't know about you guys, but I have learned the names of so many new plants today. So Andrew Padula is your plant guy if you want to know anything about plants.
And we will have links to all of this on our website as well.
That's right.
At SaturdaySplash.com.
Yeah. So we're getting ready to plant our fall gardens. What kind of plants are going to grow if I want to keep growing in the fall? Or even on into the winter?
Well, you know, once again, natives are the key, and also evergreens. You know, focus, you know, and here's a common misconception is that evergreens are your classic pine tree style and that many of them are green, when in fact, 50 to 60% of all evergreens are different colors than green. You have red ones, you have light blue gray ones, you have dark green, light green, solid yellow, variegated. So there's many different kinds of evergreens that could add winter color to your garden.
That sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
It also makes me think of Christmas, though.
Oh,
I love Christmas.
Oh, we can start getting ready to plant vegetables, too. Clemson Extension has a really great website, and we'll post that on SaturdaySplash.com. But the Cooperative Extension has this whole long list of vegetables to start planting. So here coming up in September, we've got garlic you can plant from September 1st to October 30th. Onions start now in about September and go till October for a good planting season. Radishes, kind of rutabagas. You probably want to get them in the ground like now. Spinach is coming up in September. Turnips, things like that. So just to start planting for your fall and winter veggies
too. So root vegetables and greens pretty much.
Pretty hardy ones. Is that because they're underground and they're a little bit more insulated?
Well, they also, you know, and once again, not all the roots and vegetables are from the area. So some of them may grow better in cooler conditions naturally, and that's why they're cool weather crops here. You know, one other thing to keep in mind when it comes to propagating natives and using them for fall is that you're able to propagate natives much earlier outdoors than you are some other plants that aren't native. You know, elderberry is a good example. When I propagated elderberry for the nursery this season, I was walking down a creek and found one growing wild. Well, there's a few ways to propagate it to kind of speed things up and give you more plants per cutting, so to speak. You can go your classic style, which is vertically putting your cutting into soil or water, or you can lay them down horizontally in a tray of soil, bury the branch so that just the leaves are above, and in that one cutting you can get 10 plants.
You know,
the cutting's about a foot long, you get about, you know, 8 to 10 plants off of it.
So propagating basically then is to take a piece of a plant that is existing and make another plant out of it. Grow another plant out of it?
A lot of times. And, you know, the propagation, it also occurs, you know, there's many different ways to propagate. Some of them would be shade rooting, layering, cane tip layering, you know, just seed starting, dividing. So there's a whole bunch of different ways you can propagate plants, even air layering, which is fun.
And
you
mentioned, sounds cool.
Air layering. That sounds good. So you mentioned that you might be doing a class on this, or have you already done one at the Greer Farmers Market?
Yeah, we do plan? Fun things at the farmer's market. We were voted best green company in the upstate.
Yay.
Mainly because of the choices of plants that we chose to bring in, which is only useful ones. That means you won't find any gardenias or hydrangeas or orchids, you know, unless it's vanilla. You won't find any orchids that, you know, or anything you can't use there.
That's so cool.
But the classes, yes, the classes we have a seed exchange there, and we do offer garden and propagating classes
at the market. And is there a website?
Yeah, so the Greer Farmers Market, and we're also on Facebook.
Okay, this is how I sign up for classes. That sounds so fun.
It does sound fun, and I have to say that we have actually participated in a couple of farmers markets over at Greer, and everybody is so nice, and they're so helpful, and they will take the every bit of time that you need to explain what they're selling and how they've created it or how they've grown it.
But yeah, the Greer Market is one of my favorite markets in Greenville, actually. That's Thursday nights, downtown Greer in the Depot.
Yes.
Starts at 4:30.
300 Randall Street, 4 to 7. And we're going to be going through 7. October.
Great.
The end of October?
I believe so. We're having a chili cook-off towards the end, so we're going to have a good event.
Go on.
And, there's going to be a lot of local produce in the chili, so that's a good added bonus.
Ooh, okay. So first of all, how do I sign up to eat chili? And then you just can gotta I participate? Show up. I just bring it?
No, you can be in the chili contest, or you can just show up and taste test and see what you like.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like a challenge has been made now.
What day is this?
I'd have to double check. I'm bad with schedules.
Okay, we'll put it on our website at SaturdaySplash.com. But oh yeah, chili cook-off at the Greer Farmers Market, and that goes till the end of October. And most of the markets in the area do go till the end of October. So, you know, we've still got a couple of months to go get produce before it kind of starts dying down for the season. But now's a really good time to freeze things too, right? If you take your produce and you freeze it, then you can still kind of have somewhat fresh produce throughout the winter time until glorious spring comes again.
That's right. Yeah, and fall is also a good time to do seed collecting.
Oh, that's a good idea too.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, you mentioned freezing, Maddie. We actually froze a lot of our peppers from our garden. Did not realize all you have to do, put them in a freezer bag, throw them in the freezer hole, and they're perfect.
That's awesome. All right, well, this is the Saturday Splash on 94.5 WGTK The Answer. Stay tuned for more. To be paradise, put up a parking lot. Why not they pay paradise to put up a parking lot?